Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Music from Ukraine. Let's go behind the headlines and inside the Ukraine news now and check in with Joseph Lindsley. What are we listening to here, Joe?
Hey, Bob. Hello from a snowy day here in Kyiv. This is music from Taras Stoliar. He is a Ukrainian bandurist. The bandura is that 64-string traditional Ukrainian instrument, and he actually was playing this last week in the United States. Taras is a soldier musician, part of that group called the Cultural Forces that traveled to the U.S. for a couple months. They played more than 150 shows during their two-month tour. And here is obviously it's a cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters. And quite nicely, the band Metallica on their Instagram account, which has more than 12 million followers, they shared this a couple days ago, this clip and the sound of Taras playing their song, Nothing Else Matters, on that traditional ancient instrument, the bandura. And, you know, nice always for Ukrainians to get sort of that mainstream support during these dark and heavy days. And, you know, as I think of the lyrics of Metallica's lyrics, you know, for that song, this idea of, a lot of never cared for what they say, never cared for games they play. But forever trusting who we are, no, nothing else matters. I think, you know, during the darkest moments, which not only now, there's been other dark moments during these 2.5 years for all Ukrainians and everyone standing with them. You know, it's always in those darkest moments when you have to find a way to dig deep and to trust who you are and what you're fighting for. So a nice coincidence of that song being shared. And, you know, this, I didn't mention it yesterday, but yesterday, the 21st of November, is a momentous day for Ukrainians. And in fact, probably because of the events that began on the 21st of November in 2013 is the very reason why this war is happening today, the very reason why the Russians sent that major missile to Dnipro yesterday, which, by the way, is not quite an intercontinental ballistic missile, it seems, but is a new adaptation of such a missile. But all that is because of these events that began on the 21st of November 2013, when a few students, or a number of students, gathered in the main square, the Maidan of Kyiv, and they were protesting the pro-Kremlin regime that was trying to, you know, bring Ukraine, you know, back into sort of the Soviet era grip. And some students were protesting, very much in the same way that 35 years ago in 1989, people throughout Eastern Europe were protesting. In fact, in November of 1989, the people of the Czech Republic took to the streets of Prague and began to finally break away from the Soviet Union. And so many back in the early 90s thought they had finally achieved it. Ukrainians were still under the shadow of the Kremlin through the 90s and early 2000s. And on this November 21st, 2013, these students began to gather. And the pro-Kremlin regime sent the riot police and the secret police and began to clamp down on the students. And notably, the 21st of November is on the Orthodox or Eastern Christian calendar is the Feast of St. Michael, who's the patron saint of Kyiv. And near that main square in Kyiv is the monastery of St. Michael. And when the secret police began to attack the students, the monks rang the bells of the monastery of St. Michael, as they did 1,000 years ago when the Mongols were trying to invade. And at that moment, really, it awakened the entire nation. And in main squares throughout all of Ukraine during the subsequent weeks, people began to gather and basically lived in the squares until the pro-Kremlin regime fled in February of 2014. And ever since that moment, when Putin could no longer control Ukraine, he's been working, you know, first from his taking of the Crimean Peninsula in March of 2014, But up until now, you know, ever since then, this has been about trying once again to put the Ukrainian people under the thumb of the Kremlin. And so that anniversary yesterday is a reminder, really, of why this war is happening. It started with those students who refused to be controlled and set an example for their entire country.
Joseph, do you agree that the only hope for a deal to end this war is if the stalemate holds and the U.S. supplied missiles and now the landmines? Is it too late for that to have a big impact on the battlefield?
You know, it's really interesting how all of a sudden in these past days, the Biden administration has this flurry of activity. Also sanctioning, for example, the major, probably the biggest bank in Russia, Gazprom, which was basically left unsanctioned for these past 2.5 years. And it's like suddenly they've awakened. A lot has been lost. A lot of lives have been lost these 2.5 years. And suddenly we see this flurry of activity. And some people speculate whether, we don't quite know, but, you know, is the incoming Trump administration actually involved in some of these new permissions Ukraine has been given? It's hard to know. But all of a sudden, we do see this activity, things that could have happened, especially with the sanctions, that could have happened 2.5 years ago. But I see it from, you know, certainly from the Ukrainian perspective, considering all that has been sort of sacrificed, there's not a desire to give up a lot for that. I mean, I think if you look at a place like the city of Donetsk in eastern Ukraine, which the Russians occupied after that revolution in 2014, that place, I think for many Ukrainians, is almost like Gaza is to Israelis. It was sort of given up so long ago. Most of the people who wanted to be free left that city and moved to places like Kyiv or Kharkiv. And so maybe there's a possibility that, you know, something, places like that in Donbass that have basically been ruined. I mean, they've been brought back into Soviet, sort of back into a Soviet era. Maybe something like that could be negotiated. But I think, as I was thinking, Bob, and I put this on my social media, if you go to at JP Lindsley on Twitter, on X, or YouTube or Instagram, as the new Trump administration takes shape, I think that there's probably a great need to get the sort of different people to tell the story of Ukraine to Americans and for Americans to find the right Americans who can understand Ukraine. And so if you go there, my team made some videos looking at some of these possibilities, because I think a lot of the professional diplomats, they don't speak the same language as the people that were part of the Maidan Revolution, the people that were protesting in the streets, or of the soldiers who were in the trenches. And like one of the people I think might be a good representative or even ambassador to the U.S. Is a Ukrainian soldier who goes by the name Gandalf, because Ukrainians do see this as sort of a Lord of the Rings battle of good versus evil. Gandalf lost an eye and an arm in the past, I think it was 2018, against the Russians. And so he goes around with a hook, but someone who speaks very eloquently about freedom. And I think voices who I think would really resonate with especially American veterans and with the incoming Trump administration. There's been a lot of barriers to, Americans don't, I think, even now really understand, except for maybe this audience, that, this is not about two different regimes clashing. It's about people who, with this long memory of, oppression during the Soviet times, they just want to be free and self-determining. And I think that if that message can get through, I think there's a chance that things could change with the new administration.
A Lord of the Rings battle, but for real. Joseph Lindsley in Indeed. Ukraine. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Bob. Until Monday.